and chapter number 15. And we, of course, have had for a couple and a half months now a study here on Teach Me. And I trust that the Lord is using these lessons to be a blessing to you. And I've been encouraged through the personal study and also through the preparation, preaching the messages. God has helped me, and I trust that He's helped you as well. I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm thankful that He wants to teach us. Amen. And I very often, as you know, I've said many times, the things that I pray before I read the Scriptures, but David said, teach me thy Word. And what a blessing for God to teach us. Here in 1 Chronicles 15, I'm going to jump right in verse number 13, and that will kind of give us some really context for the lesson this evening. And we'll be back in chapter number 13 just a little bit and looking at these two chapters this evening. But look in verse number 13 of 1 Chronicles 15. The Bible says, "For because ye did it not at the first," what he's speaking of is bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, okay? And so that's the event that David is speaking of, the event in Israel's history that we're going to be looking at this evening. And he says, "Because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us." Notice what it says, "For that we sought him not after the due order." We know that the breach in which David is speaking of is the death of Uzzah. We read that in chapter number 13. In fact, if you turn back there, we'll be in chapter 15. We find that really the desire that David had to bring the ark back to Jerusalem was not only commendable, but we find that it was well received by the people of God. In fact, as you look at the Word of God in verse number 4 of 1 Chronicles 13, the Bible says that all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. David is doing something that is commendable. He's got a right purpose and goal and aim here in bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. And we find that the people, they were supportive. They were ready to see this take place. It says that they not only said that they would go, but the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. And we find that preparations were made as we would understand all that takes place and how David gathered Israel together in verse number 5, and the preparations are made to bring the ark of God back to Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that as they're seeking to do this, that tragedy takes place. In verse number 7, the Bible says that they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. The Bible tells us that David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing, with harps, with psalteries, with timbrels, with cymbals, with trumpets. When they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. The Bible tells us that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him. Why? Because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Notice what the Bible tells us of David in verse number 11. It says that he was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. But then notice this in verse number 12. The Bible says that David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" The events of 1 Chronicles 13 that we've read quickly here this evening, these events really result in David seeking the Lord and learning from his mistake. If you're taking notes this evening, I would simply title the lesson tonight, "Learning from Your Mistakes." Don't we make mistakes in life? And sometimes we make the same mistake more than once. Has that ever happened to you? And you say, "Man, when am I going to learn?" Right? And the reality is that it is advantageous for us when we learn from our mistakes. And we find that here David had good intentions, did he not? I mean, the thing that he desired to do was to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And this is commendable. These are good intentions that David has. In fact, as you look in verse number 7, 7, as they're bringing the ark out, the Bible tells us in verse number 8 how that they were all playing before God with all their might and all that was taking place. But the reality is that they were going about the work of God the wrong way. And David asks a very important question in verse number 12. After it is said that he was afraid of God that day, notice the question. He says, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" We find that they take the ark to Obed-Edom's house, and we can read of that and see what takes place. It's there for 3 months, according to verse number 14. But I want to focus this evening not so much on where the ark stayed for those 3 months, but that question, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? Because of the events that had happened, David was going to learn a valuable lesson. I want you to see that David learned the prescribed method. If you go over to chapter 15 and look in verse number 1, the Bible says that David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Now, I want you to notice what David says in verse number 2. Why? Because David learned something. And the method that they're going to use in chapter number 15 is greatly different than that which was employed in chapter number 13. And as we look at chapter number 15 and we look at David and remember that question that he asks in chapter 13, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? David is going to learn. And it says in verse number 2 of 1 Chronicles 15, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. Notice, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. So we find that David here in verse number 2 is communicating to those that he's had the opportunity to lead what he has learned. He has learned the prescribed method. We find in verse number 13, we've read it just a moment ago, it says, for because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us for that we sought him not after. Notice what it says, the due order. I want you to understand something very interesting as we look at this passage of Scripture and consider the thought of learning from your mistakes. I want you to see that this, what David learns here, this was not new revelation from God. God had already given the instructions for moving the ark well before this ever took place. The problem was that they simply didn't look for the instructions. This was not new revelation from God. It was not that God revealed to David because he said, how am I going to bring this back? And God speaks to David and says, here's how. No, when he says in verse number 2 that none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, that for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever, you're going back to the Pentateuch to get that information. You're understanding that God communicated that truth to Moses, and Moses faithfully recorded the truth for how the ark was to be transported. So this is no new revelation from God. Rather, we find that what's happening is the method, the proper means by which God's work should be accomplished is now sought after because of the preceding events. Because of what had transpired in chapter number 13, David now says, how am I going to accomplish this task? And no doubt they go to the Word of God and they discover, here's what God's method is. We find that David then implemented the prescribed method. Notice, if you will, in verse number 14, it says, so the priest and the Levites sanctified themselves. For what purpose? To bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon. Notice this next phrase, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. So you remember that the ark, the staves there, and the method in which they would transport it. The problem in chapter number 13, as you find, as they sought to move the ark, the Bible tells us that they carried the ark of God in verse number 7 in a new cart. And that new cart was bringing the ark, and it says that Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark. Why? For the oxen stumbled. So they were using some oxen to pull the ark on this new cart. Where'd they get this idea? From the Philistines. Because when they had all of their problems, because they had captured the ark in battle, and they had taken the ark, and you remember Dagon and all that happened, and how that God was showing that he is superior to their false gods, and they decide, we got to get this thing out of here, and they put it on a cart. And they have some oxen pull that cart, and we find here that this methodology is being implemented in chapter number 13. But in chapter number 15, David is learning, and not only has he learned what the prescribed method is, but now he's implementing this prescribed method. It tells us in verse number, skip down if you will, to verse number 26. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Isn't it interesting, as you see there in verse number 26, where it's the Levites that are bearing the Ark of the Covenant, but the Bible says right in the middle of that verse, in verse number 26, that God helped the Levites. As they're doing the work of God, following the way that God had prescribed, then God gives his help and he blesses them. It says in verse 27, and David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers, and the Bible goes on and tells us all that's taking place and all the rejoicing and all the glory of taking and bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. Skip down, if you will, to chapter 16 and notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. Hold your place there. Look back. Remember in verse number 1 of chapter 15, it said that David made him houses in the city of David. Notice what it says, and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. And now we see in chapter 16 in verse number 1 that they brought the ark of God, they set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. I understand there's a lot that goes on in these few chapters in the book of 1 Chronicles, but when we really see what's taking place in the life of David and we think about this idea of learning from our own mistakes, the reality is that here there was a critical error that was made in 1 Chronicles 13. And that critical error began by not seeking the face of God with regard to moving this ark and the method by which they should move the ark. We find that in the book of Joshua, we're familiar with the situation with the Gibeonites, and you understand the agreement that was made between Joshua and the elders and the Gibeonites. And it's very interesting as you read there in Joshua 9 that there's something that is obviously missing amongst Joshua and the people of God, and that's that they did not inquire of the Lord. Now, God had given them instruction for how they were to interact with the inhabitants of the land. God had provided them with all of those details, and yet they see what is brought to them, the evidence of old and moldy bread and all the visual pieces of things that they would show them and say, "This is, we're from a far country." And they go and they make an agreement, and they did not seek the face of God. And here we find that David, he had a good idea, pure desire to bring the ark back. It was commendable. It was well received, but they went about it the wrong way. And there are times in our lives when we make mistakes as well. We don't seek the face of God. We don't seek His Word. And we remember, as we talked about this thing of having a teachable spirit, and we've spoken about the subject matter of, Lord, teach me, one of the things that's so necessary, I believe that it's very difficult, challenging, if not impossible for us to be taught, for us to learn, and that is that we'd have humility, that we'd have that humble spirit. And here we find that David, because of what takes place, he asks that question, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? I'm thankful that God has given us His Word. I'm thankful that God is gracious and He allows us to learn from even our own mistakes. David learned, I believe one of the great lessons that he learns through this passage of Scripture, and a lesson that we too need to learn, is this: God's work must be done God's way. God's work must be done God's way. You know, there is a great temptation to try to bring in the world's methods to try to do the Lord's work. There's a temptation that churches face, that pastors face, that individuals face, that we try to borrow the methodologies of the world and incorporate those into the work of God, and we expect somehow that we're going to have similar type of results. But the reality is that the work of God is not like secular work. The work of God must be done God's way. And as we do God's work God's way, and only when we do God's work God's way, can we expect God's blessing. Can we expect God's favor? Can we expect that God is going to do what He alone can do? So often we turn to these methodologies and we have this attitude and this perspective of pragmatism. If it works, if we can get that result that we want, we become very pragmatic, and the end justifies the means, kind of an approach to life and even to ministry. But the reality is that we want to see God's favor. We want to see God's hand. We want to see God's blessing. It's such a wonderful thing when you have the opportunity to hear when you're looking at the work of God and you're able to be able to identify and say, God did this. God blessed in this. God worked in this way. And as we go through and we're here now in this particular era of time and we're seeking to do the work of God, can I remind myself, can I remind each of us this evening that God's given us His way in this book? Remember, as I mentioned in the very beginning of our lesson this evening, when David was fearful and he says, how should we bring this ark? It was not any new revelation that was necessary. What was necessary was for David and the children of Israel to go back and see what God had already prescribed for how the work must be accomplished. And when they went back and they researched and they found out, and evidently, as the Bible tells us, that the ark was there with Obed-Edom for 3 months, there was some period of time, there was some research, there was some stuff that took place. And I'm thankful that they went to the Word of God, they went to the recorded Word of God, that which Moses had faithfully recorded as the Lord had commanded him to do so, and they said, here's how we're supposed to do it. This is what we're going to do. And as we do God's work God's way, then all of a sudden we see where the Bible says in verse 26 of 1 Chronicles 15, and it came to pass when God helped the Levites. Why did He help them? Well, because they were doing it the way that God told them to do it. And as they're doing it the way that God told them to do it, it ends up that the ark is brought back to Jerusalem, as we read in chapter number 16. I hope this evening that as we think about this passage of Scripture, and again, it's an event in Israel's history that many of us are familiar with. There's many additional things that we could say about the text of Scripture, but as we try to look at this thought tonight of different ways in which we learn, you know, sometimes we learn from our mistakes. And I want to learn from my mistake the first time, don't you? I don't want to keep making the same mistake over and over and over. I'm glad that David didn't set up with his counselors and say, okay, guys, we tried that method, we tried that approach, what else do you think we can do? Well, instead of using this kind of a cart and this kind of an animal to pull it, maybe we do this instead, and maybe we try this, and maybe we try that. No, they went to the Word of God, and they found out what God had prescribed. And this evening, as we think about our own lives and we think about the mistakes that we make, and we understand, we often say, the Word of God has the answers for all of life's problems. When David says, how shall we do this? It's not that he's looking for some person to give him an answer as to what their idea, their suggestion is on how to accomplish the task. It's how did God tell us that we're to do this? And as we do God's work God's way, as Hudson Taylor said, famously said, that we can trust for God's supply. Because God blesses obedience to His Word. And so David learned a valuable lesson. The circumstances were challenging, tough circumstances, unfortunate events in chapter number 13. And sometimes in our lives when we make mistakes, and we can make a mess of things, but oh, that God would help to humble us and approach and say, God, I was doing it my way. I didn't really seek You. And Lord, would You help me, guide me, show me the way that I'm supposed to do this, because God's work must be done God's way. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the Word of God. Lord, as we think about this familiar passage of Scripture, all that takes place, and try to take away this single thought this evening of learning from our mistakes, I pray that You'd help us. We all make mistakes. All of us are guilty at times of not seeking Your face, of being pragmatic in an approach to some task that is before us. And God, as we think specifically tonight about the work of God, we're so thankful that You've given us the opportunity to serve You. We're so thankful that You've given us instruction in Your Word with regard to Your service. And I pray that we would serve You appropriately, that God, You would bless and work and move. We pray that You'd do a work where You alone would be glorified. Bless our time of prayer. We thank You for the privilege of prayer. I pray that You would work and guide as only You can, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.